Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
This is what I call freedom. Well, I wanna say, I wanna tell you, I wanna say it. When you can do what you wanna do and go where you wanna go and live where you wanna live and love who you want. You wanna join? Well, 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 that's freedom. Yeah, yeah, freedom. Yes, sir. When you can learn what you wanna learn and read what you wanna read, read. And write what you wanna write.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
When I first saw the tweet this morning, I was frankly disgusted. I thought to myself, this dude has got such a fixation with women and blood. What is wrong with him? And then you remember that this dude, this disgusting dude, is the president of the United States. And you realize just how much he is diminishing the presidency of the United States. You realize that what he is doing is not just acting for Donald Trump. He's acting for all of us. He's acting for our president. And he is embarrassing. He is shameful. He is disgusting. And I'll say this about Republicans. I'm really tired of hearing words like disappointed, like disturbed, like I'm bothered, like I wish he wouldn't do it. It's time that somebody looks at the camera and looks at him and calls him up and says, listen, you crazy lunatic 70-year-old man, baby, stop it. You are now the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief, and you need to stop acting like a mean girl because we just won't take it. We won't vote with you. We won't work with you. I can't start talking about tax reform. I can't start talking about health care reform because I can't get past the fact that we have a president who lacks the sufficient character. We have a president who is mean. We have a president who is nasty. We have a president who is immature, unstable, and just acts like a crazy person with anybody who attacks him because he's got thin skin and he is never going to pivot. And anybody around him, whether it's his daughter, his chief of staff, his wife, who I remind you had said her signature issue was going to be fighting against online bullying, or any Republican on the Hill, stop enabling him. Confront this and confront this hard, or it will never stop, and it will embarrass all of us. It will take the presidency low, low, low.
I suspect the president is not going to accept your advice, but what do you believe he needs to do to fix this?
Stop. Look, if you can't control your tweeting habits, then stop tweeting.
How you doing,
though? Hi, I'm Shannon Martin from Podbean, and I'm here today to talk about monetizing your podcast. In other words, getting paid to podcast. And today will be part one. We'll talk generally about monetization and strategy.
Mr. President.
Senator from California.
Senator Carper, it's interesting. You talked about Tanzania. It reminds me of a greeting that I've often heard from people who live in various African countries. You've probably heard it. But when you meet someone for the first time, instead of what we would normally say, pleased to meet you, the greeting back is, I see you. I see you. And I think that really is part of our concern here. Do we see the people who will be impacted in the way that they are actually living their lives? And do we understand, if we see them, that this bill will not be in their best interest? And right now, for example, we know 13 senators, all Republicans, are crafting a bill, and this bill would restructure our nation's entire health care system, which when you add up what Americans can spend on hospitals, doctors...
Ms. Britt.
Yep.
How you doing?
All right.
Mr. President.
Senator from California.
Senator Carper, it's interesting. You talked about Tanzania. It reminds me of a greeting that I've often heard from people who live in various African countries. You've probably heard it. But when you meet someone for the first time, instead of what we would normally say, pleased to meet you, the greeting back is, I see you.
It's not bad.
Mr. President.
Senator from California.
Senator Carper, it's interesting. You talked about Tanzania. It reminds me of a greeting that I've often heard from people who live in various African countries. You've probably heard it. But when you meet someone for the first time, instead of what we would normally say, pleased to meet you, the greeting back is, I see you. I see you. And I think that really is part of our concern here. Do we see the people who will be impacted in the way that they are actually living their lives? And do we understand, if we see them, that this bill will not be in their best interests? And right now, for example, we know 13 senators, all Republicans, are crafting a bill, and this bill would restructure our nation's entire health care system, which, when you add up what Americans can spend on hospitals, doctors, prescription drugs, and all the rest, we understand that it makes up 1/6 of our economy. It would affect the lives of everyone. Our parents, grandparents, those who are in need of caregiving, our children struggling with asthma or opioid abuse, our spouses who may be battling cancer. And what is equally distressing is that this bill is being written in secret. The chairman of the Finance Committee says he has not seen the bill. The Secretary of Health and Human Services says he has not seen the bill. The American people, the people we all represent, have certainly not seen the bill. Well, I think the American people deserve better. This bill is being written entirely along partisan lines without any attempt to bring Democrats on board. And the American people deserve better. This bill is being written and rushed through the Senate with hardly any time to debate the cost or the details of this proposal. And the American people deserve better. Now, I remember when our
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. I appeal to the intelligence agencies and the governments of what is left of the free world, to them as entities, entireties, as bureaucracies making official decisions, and to the individuals who make decisions of conscience, to GCHQ and MI6 in the UK, to the BND in Germany, the DGSE in France, the ASIS in Australia, and even to the GRU in Russia, where they must already be profoundly aware that they have not merely helped put
Hello?
Mr. President.
Senator from California.
Senator Carper, it's interesting. You talked about Tanzania. It reminds me of a greeting that I've often heard from people who live in various African countries. You've probably heard it. But when you meet someone for the first time,
during an interview with Politico that was posted online this week, White House advisor, White House aide, whatever you want to call her, White House spokesperson maybe, Kellyanne Conway, took a shot at her critics once again. She told Politico that her critics were, quote, unhappy people with...
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance.
All right, folks, we're having some difficulties with the George Wilder Jr. Show. We have a guest, a couple of guests. They can't seem to get through. They can't hear me, and I can't hear them. So there's some difficulty. I'm thinking that it's because of the storms that we had earlier today. That, I mean, when you're doing internet radio, if you're doing anything that's internet, you know that there's sometimes confusion, technical difficulties, things screw up, and I haven't had this happen in quite a while, but I guess maybe it's time for it. I would like to apologize to Bridget, Renee, and other callers who were trying to get into the show or who were listening to the show but couldn't hear me. This has happened before, and it's really strange, and it has happened before, and we have to try and deal with it. Right. So I want to apologize let's try this again.
I got three of them.
You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Bridget Renee.
Bridget Renee, I'm so sorry. I've been trying to connect with you since you called in when your first call. I think it was something due to the storms that we had here earlier in the Chicago. We had a lot of rainstorms and lightning and stuff like that. And anytime you're on the computer doing your show on the computer, anything could happen. It goes down, it breaks down, it goes out.
Well, the internet. In Atlanta, Georgia, so I can attest to that. We get the same.
So I'm thinking I'm on the air. I might not have been on the air, but you know, every time you called in, I saw your number flash up on my screen, and I kept trying to bring you in. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. And I want to thank you for all the times that you've been trying to get into the show. I think maybe about 10 times, maybe.
Yes, I am no quitter. No. I don't know anything about quitting.
thank you for that, because I'm pretty sure it has something to do with the weather, because we had some really foul weather and the rain was banging everywhere and thunder and lightning, and that may have had something to do with it. But the show, but you're here now, and I want to thank you so much for that. And
now that you're here, and I hope my audience is still with me, even though I've been having all these problems with the show. It happens once in a while. So tell us about your, you say you're going to be talking about Love, the Job You Hate?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the book. I started off writing fiction because, you know, a lot of people, they love fiction. They love to be taken away from the world that they live in. But then I decided that I wasn't really making a contribution the way that I wanted to. So I said, well, let me start writing about what people are really concerned about. And every time you have a conversation with people, the one thing that they always talk about is how much they hate their jobs. It's like, wow, why does nobody like their job? And it's because
I was going to say, I've talked about that main subject a lot of times on the show, that people, I don't see how people can go to jobs every day that they hate.
Exactly. And one of the things that I realized is that there is a way to love the job you hate, and that is to use your job as the biggest investment into you. So while you're building somebody else's dream, you build your own dreams as well. And that's what the whole focus is all about. And I use the lunch break example because that's exactly how I did. I was at a job that I just really, yes. And I mean, there are so many things I accomplished on my lunch break. You know, I got two college degrees. I was also a Navy, you know, reservist. So I got a lot of accolades, you know, within that because I just refocused my energy on my lunch break. And I call it it's my Whitney Houston story. You know, back in the day, there was just a lot of drama going on with Whitney Houston. And this was back when she was still married to Bobby Brown, or they were just, you know, got together or something. But I went into the lunchroom one day, and that's what everybody was talking about. I'm like, oh my gosh, there has got to be more than life to life, you know, than to be talking about that. And then so I decided that I was going to use my lunch break for something else. And it just amazed me because I stopped going into the lunch break room. But say like I went after my undergraduate degree. And when I got back, one day I find myself in a lunch break room. And they were talking about how Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown were, like, you know, having drug issues. I'm like, oh, my goodness, they're still on Whitney Houston. And then, you know, I ended up getting my MBA, go in a lunch break room. And they're talking about, you know, how Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown, they broke up. You know, and I call it my Whitney Houston story because, you know, she did cause a lot of drama, even though she is a great singer. But her life was full of so much drama. But it's why are you focusing on Whitney Houston when you could be focusing on yourself? And it really saddens me how much time those people wasted in that lunch break room talking about something they had no control over. Whitney Houston does not know any of them. They never met Whitney Houston, but yet their lives were filled with stories about Whitney Houston. And all this time, I'm, you know, steady collecting accolades. I'm writing bestsellers. You know, I'm getting more college degrees. And I'm getting promotions at work. And they're still focused on Whitney Houston. So that's why.
So you tied that all into your book, Love That Job You Hate?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because the lunch break is the perfect time. It is really the perfect time because, like, in the morning, you know, you're so busy getting things together, getting your family together, getting yourself together. You all rush. You're in traffic, pressing your way through traffic, trying to get to work. And then after work, you know, you want to just chill, wind down with the family, eat, relax, go to bed, watch TV. But that one time a day that is just all yours, it's your lunch break.
It is
all yours. You can do whatever you want on your lunch break. So why not use that hour to just reinvent yourself? And that's exactly what I did.
So you're saying use that hour, use that lunch break to love the job you hate?
Yes, to do something that is going to, you know, set your future, not somebody else's future, but yours. Because I would say, you know, a few years back, my life is, you know, I don't even recognize my life from a few years ago. Because of all the things that I have gained by just refocusing my energy during my lunch break to reinvent myself.
And you're out there trying to help other people to reinvent themselves while hating a job that they go to every day.
Exactly, exactly. Because I mean, I started to just, all of a sudden, I love getting up, going to work. It's like, oh my goodness, because, you know, I already had in my head what I was going to do, or I, you know, keep lists of what I'm going to do on my lunch break. And I was so excited to go to work because it's like, okay, I got to do my job for this company. But, oh, my goodness, my lunch break is going to come around. Yay. You know, I get to do me. And I started really loving the job that, you know, that I hated. It is, it's a real thing. It's a real thing.
I mean, personally, I've worked at a few jobs that I just couldn't stand. And basically, if I'm working at a job that I don't like, it's not the work that's bothering me. It may be some of the people that work there.
Yeah.
You know, it's the people, not
You have to focus on decluttering your life with regards to the context that you have. You know, you don't just declutter like your living space or your desk or your computer. You have to declutter your context first.
And as I've said before, it's a lot of people out here working at jobs that they hate. I've worked in an office setting for 3 years, and I didn't hate the job. I actually liked it. I didn't love it, but it was okay. But I knew some people who were working at the same office, in the same office that I was working, that they actually hated the job, and they had desks and cubicles they were sitting in behind the desk, computers, but they just hated the job. They hated the supervisor. They hated the manager.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just trying to get through the day.
It reflects on the entire atmosphere of the whole, you know, of the whole office.
Yeah.
Because someone is down like that. And that's why, you know, because I tend to stay to myself because I'm actually an introvert and I tend to stay to myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do know exactly what you're talking about. I had to, you know, remove some people from my life at the job because all they did was complain. I'm like, oh my goodness, you just really complain a lot. Wow, are you doing anything about it? And when you talk to them and learn that they're not doing anything about it, it's like, well, what is your point? What's the point of it all?
Yeah, I recall once I was a supervisor at this particular job, and I went in being a supervisor, and I was just so stunned that all the people who supposedly worked for me rushed up and started telling me about somebody else not doing that work. I mean, it was just, I said, wait a minute. Yeah, I mean, the first thing, George, Sarah's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. George, Mike is over there messing around. George, Pete is back there. He's overstaying his lunch hour. Yeah, I'm just saying, I just started the job, and you know, people were just, I said, oh my goodness, what is it? and that was the type of job I didn't care for. I didn't care for people. Because I always said, if you're telling on somebody, if you're trying to get somebody else in trouble, I better start looking at you. You know,
exactly. Because if they're telling you something about people that they already know, imagine what they have to say about strangers, you know, who just came into their lives.
I'm saying, well, if you're telling me about Mark and saying Mark is doing wrong, you must be hiding something yourself.
No. Exactly.
Do you have your book with you? Can you read us an excerpt?
Yes, I do. I am going to read to you from the introduction. And it basically talks about why I wrote the book. And it goes like this. This book is not only about how to transition your work environment from insufferable to rewarding. It also about writing and how I use this invaluable tool to transition into a life I barely recognized from just 2 years ago. But don't think for a minute that writing alone will bring about prosperity you desire. It's uncommon for individuals in this industry to accumulate prosperity on just writing alone. I must make it painfully clear that writing becomes profitable only when you use it to either 1, start a movement that matters, 2, build a business platform, 3, help people as you heal yourself by sharing your story of survival, or 4, master employable skills that allow you to grow at your conventional 9-to-5. And when I say profitable, I'm not just referring to financially. I'm talking emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. because being a cubicle slave at a job you hate sucks to the 10th power. Yeah. I know, I've been there. So I'm going to show you what actions I took all on my lunch break that not only made my job tolerable, but a place where I wake up each weekday morning and look forward to going to and thriving. Like, did you know the fastest way to financial freedom is to master your message by becoming an expert at what you do? And everybody has a skill set or pastime they do freakishly well. You just haven't shared yours with the world yet. You have no idea how much cash you're leaving on the table when you don't share your gifts with the world. Because whether it's designing your own clothing line, coaching the next Venus Williams, or setting this world ablaze with your message of ending illiteracy, it all begins with building a trendy platform your target audience will go nuts over time and time again. And do you want to know how some of the biggest names in the business today have done it? By starting the movement that matters. And do you know how they introduce their powerful message? By first penning a bestseller, of course, Think Steve Harvey. Do you want me to go on?
Oh, no, that was great. That was wonderful. Bridget Renee on the George Wilder Jr. Show. The name of your book is Love That Job You Hate.
Love the Job You Hate. It's the five fastest.
I like the title.
Your lunch break into your most profitable hour of the day.
I love the title. I think the title is just an eye catcher. I really do. And where can we find that book? Where can we gather more information about what you do and the book?
Right now, the book is on Amazon, but if you go to my website, you can find out all the information that you need to know, because I also have a correspondence course on my website that goes along with the book, so you can, you know, purchase the course as well. And my website is Bridget Renee, BRIDGETTRENAY.com.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's great. Are you planning on writing another book?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Because, you know, this is just, I see how important it is and how, you know, it's a necessary tool for people to have. And like with my, I have like a lot of nieces and they seem to be, they're young and they seem to be not really having their head on straight. So I, you know, I am duty bound to make this a better world for them and to be able to give them as much information as possible on how to don't even get into the rat race. It's like learn how to be your own boss and start now. Start young.
It is doable. Yes, start now. Start young. Bridget Renee on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to thank you for putting up with everything that has gone on earlier.
No problem at all. Thank you so much for having me.
All righty. No problem. Bye bye. Take care.
All right. Bye bye.
All right, Bridget Renee on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And if you're just tuning in to the George Wilder Jr. Show, we were having all kinds of problems at the beginning of the show. I was thinking I was on the air and probably was not on the air. And you heard a lot of music, but you didn't hear me. And but I think we've got it together right now because, like I was telling Bridget, we were experiencing some really bad weather in the city of Chicago. I'm pretty sure that was it, or it could be my headphones. Who knows? All righty. Thanks for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is 7:01 straight up p.m. straight up Chicago time. You know what? The sun is starting to come out. I can't believe it, but it's 7:02 actually. Chicago time, 7:01, 7:02, and the sun is coming out. 7:02 p.m. and the sun is coming out. It's beautiful, beautiful. And we're going to do this, Kelly Conway, we're going to do this and we'll be right back.
During an interview with Politico that was posted online this week, White House advisor, White House aide, whatever you want to call her, White House spokesperson maybe, Kellyanne Conway, took a shot at her critics once again. She told Politico that her critics were, quote, unhappy people with poison keyboards. I guess what she's trying to say is that they're a bunch of internet trolls going out there just saying mean old things to Kellyanne, who really isn't doing anything wrong. She doesn't understand why people are being so mean and horrible to her these days. Now, according to this interview that she gave with Politico, she had explained to her children that, yeah, look, mommy's going to be doing this thing. People are going to come at her. It's going to be, you know, pretty ugly sometimes, but just deal with it. To be honest, that is a very good thing to tell your children. Yeah, when you're in the public spotlight, there's going to be the naysayers. But if she took the time to explain that to her children, maybe she should have taken the time to explain to her children that, hey, listen, Mommy's going to have to go on TV and lie through her teeth to the American public about things that never happened. She is the one who came up with the term alternative facts. She is the one who invented the Bowling Green massacre that never happened. So I understand nobody likes to get criticized, but Kellyanne, you're inviting this on yourself. The people who criticize you, who call you out, are not unhappy people. I can tell you firsthand, I'm a very happy person. I love my life right now. But I will continue to criticize you anytime you feel the need to go on television and lie to the American public on behalf of Donald Trump. Anytime you make up a fake terrorist attack, we're going to be there, as will everybody else online. And it's not because we just dislike you. It's because we don't want you to continue to dumb down the United States. This is our civic duty, to hold you and everyone else in your White House accountable. So you may think it's fine to go out there and give these interviews and attack the people who you claim are attacking you. But the truth is, all we're doing is trying to hold you accountable and, to be honest, try to undo some of the damage that you're inflicting on the public today. There are Republicans out there in the United States today who, honest to God, believe that the Bowling Green massacre was a thing, that it happened, that it was carried out by Iraqi immigrants, and that U.S. citizens died as a result of it. And that's all on you, Kellyanne. You're poisoning the public discourse. It's not the people who dislike you. They don't have the problems. You do. And you need to learn, and you need to take the time to teach your children that when you screw up, you do get held accountable. When you lie to hundreds of millions of people, they're going to come after you. And the only way you can make it right is to go out and apologize and try to do the right thing from that point forward. That's what you need to learn. But honestly, I don't think you ever will. You're very happy being a stooge for Donald Trump. You have no problem going out in the media and just literally making things up. It must be nice to live in a world where you don't have to bother with things like research. You can just immediately go out there, say whatever you want. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. You don't care. You just move on to the next interview. While the rest of us have to pick up the pieces and undo the damage that you cause every time you put your face in front of a camera. If you like this video, make sure you like, comment, share, and most importantly, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already.
Yeah, we'll do that later. All right, Kellyanne Conway is back in the news. She's out there defending the indefensible Donald Trump. And it's not good, folks. It is not good, folks. It is very, very not good. But we're going to have to change the world. That's all I can say. That's at this point, we're going to have to change the world because it needs changing. We've got people trashing the White House. We get people in the White House who are just thugs, gangsters, and goons led by the godfather himself, Donald Trump. It's just not right. And now we've got this other scandal with his son, Don Jr., admittingly through emails that he met with the Russians. The only reason why he admitted it, because it was going to come out. Some news organization had gotten hold of those emails and was going to publish them. So Don Jr. decided to come out with these emails himself. And it's a mess, folks. It is just a mess. As I was saying yesterday on the show, the news pertaining to this White House, the garbage that comes out of it, it's awful. The garbage that comes out of this White House is just awful. I mean, I think that all of these guys, Mike Pence, Donald Trump, Kushner, Don Jr., Donald Trump Jr., Kellyanne Conway, I think all of these son of a guns should be indicted and probably go to jail. But they won't go to jail. They may be Donald Trump may get his butt impeached, but I don't think he's gonna go to jail, which he probably should. And another thing, Donald Trump is He's got so many lawsuits up his ass right now today. He's being sued. And he is a mess of a president. I mean, I don't care what his team say. It says here, reports say U.S. intelligence agencies heard Russian officials discussing Trump team in 2015. There's no doubt about it. Russia, I don't care what anybody say, Russia interfered with the 2016 election. Donald Trump told him to. I mean, it's in video after video after video at his campaign rallies during the campaign of him to become president. Okay. He admittedly told him, and then he's going to say it's joke. He was joking. This man was not joking. If you saw this video at this rally where he looked in the camera and said, Russia, if you're listening, that was not a joke. That was not a joke. It only became a joke when everybody was saying that it could be a crime. It's a crime. Then somebody told him, say it's a joke. Say you were just being sarcastic. And he wasn't. Donald Trump and his team, they have Russia collusion written all over them. The pace of the bombshell reports about Trump-Russia ties seem to be picking up. It is. There is no telling what we will know by this time next week. Yeah, because so much of this stuff is just coming out, dripping out. Donald Trump is denying that he knew anything about Russia. But if all of those folks in his inner circle colluded with Russia, and Donald Trump saying he knows nothing about it, he's a liar. And the whole world knows that Donald Trump is a pathological liar. I don't believe anything that comes out of this guy's mouth. I've said it before. I have no respect for the White House. I have no reason to say that when my son grows up that he wants to be president of the United States, not while this jackass is in the office. You know, I have no respect for the office. I didn't have that much respect for it when Obama was president, but I don't have an ounce now. I mean, this guy, he's a mess. He's just screwing this country up. He's an embarrassment overseas. And if any of his overseas trips are successful, he's going to say it himself. He's going to say, well, yeah, it was successful. It was great. It was wonderful. Yeah, it's just been a mess, folks. And we have to do something about this. We have to do something about this. All right, Congressman takes first step to impeach Donald Trump. A Democratic congressman. It seems like the people who are trying to get Donald Trump impeached are Democrats. The Republicans aren't doing it. So it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter when it comes to Democrats in Congress trying to get Trump impeached. They may be on the right side of the issue, but the Republicans are the ones who are in power. They have the control. So the Democrats can come up with all kinds of articles of impeachment, papers, and whatever, to impeach Trump. But they can't do anything because they don't have any power. They can talk, they can whine, they can cry, they can, you know, say the right things, but the Republicans are the ones who are in charge. If anybody's going to do any impeaching, it will be the Republicans. But we know that the Republicans are not going to impeach Donald Trump unless something is really, really catastrophical that's going on. But I can say this. I think Donald Trump probably will be impeached because the majority of Americans, they want this. They want Donald Trump out. And Donald Trump knows this himself. Americans want him out of the White House. These people have trashed the White House. You know, they want him out. But the Republicans, they will not do anything. And everybody's wondering, why don't the Republicans do something about this guy? Why don't they do something about him? The Republicans themselves are saying, well, this is every time some revelation comes out about Russia or something really salacious about this White House comes out. The Republicans, I mean, they're all on television. Well, this is bad. This can't be tolerated. This is not right. He better stop that. But yet they will not do anything. They have the power to impeach him. They have the power to take away his powers. They have the powers to take away his powers to push the button or anything, or to start a nuclear war. They can curtail this guy, but they won't do it. They will not do it. It's like aiding and abetting the situation, and they are. And they're going to pay a price for this come November of 2018, because each one of them and have constituency voters who put their butts where they are today. And the voters are pissed off. They are angry. They want Donald Trump out. But that individual congressman, that individual Republican center, they don't see it the way that their constituency see it. In essence, who cares what that Republican or that representative think? It's what their constituency want them to do. Even if their constituency want them to do something that they don't want to do, their job is to obey, because that constituency, that voting bloc, put their ass in that job and gave them great health care. And now that same senator wants to take away the health care from the voters that got him or her elected. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. But they will not impeach Donald Trump. I've heard a lot of things to the reasons why they will not impeach him. But there may come a time real soon where Donald Trump does something so catastrophic to the United States that they are going to have to impeach him, throw his ass out. But then it will be too late. They should have gotten rid of Donald Trump 2 or 3 months ago. Maybe as soon as he taking the oath of office. Donald Trump has trashed the United States. We are looked upon as clowns, idiots, buffoons around the world because of this guy. This guy goes overseas and he embarrasses us. There's a few clowns. Well, he did a great job. No, he did not. Okay, on Wednesday, Representative Brad Sherman, a Democrat of California, introduced an article of impeachment in the House seeking to remove Donald Trump from office for obstruction of justice. Representative Al Green, Democrat of Texas, co-sponsored the article. So impeachment, the calling for impeachment of Donald Trump is climbing. It is climbing, but it's only climbing with the Democrats. And the Democrats cannot impeach him. They can call for an impeachment. They can write up an article of impeachment. But impeachment is in the hands of the Republicans because they control Congress, not the Democrats. The only way that the Democrats will be able to impeach Donald Trump, they're going to have a numerous amount of Republican votes to do so. Or they can wait until the 2018 midterm elections where the voters will throw all of those Republicans out of Congress and put in Democrats. And that's another way Donald Trump will be impeached. Those are only the only two viable ways of getting this guy out of office. You know, and it's, you know, because the Republicans at this stage, they're not going to do it. There may be some Republicans, if I can say it, thinking about impeachment, wanting to impeach him, but they're doing it behind closed doors or secretly or within themselves. And their constituency, no doubt about it, is they're up in arms. I mean, you got Paul Ryan, who says he's not going to give any town halls. He's a Republican. He's the Speaker of the House. And he says he's not going to give any town halls. He said because he doesn't want to hear screaming and yelling from his constituency, the voters. So he's a coward. So you know he's gone. I mean, anytime you dodging the people who put your ass in office because you don't want to hear them scream and yell at you about you're not doing your job, then you're out of there. Paul Ryan is out of there. He's toast. He knows it. So once Paul Ryan is gone, and he will be gone, there will be no cover for Donald Trump. And once Paul Ryan is gone, and if Democrats take over in 2018, there's going to be Trump is going to get impeached, and he should know that. Then Trump will not have those minions, those Democrats, I mean, those Republicans in Congress who will be aiding and abetting him because they will have been voted out by their own constituency, the people who put their asses in office, which will be a good thing. And once again, I want to thank my guest, Bridget Renee. She's talking about Love That Job You Hate. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of other books out there on the same topic, but I think she provides something unique and very interesting, probably a different kind of take on it. So I would suggest you go get that book. I believe she said it was obviously every book that's on the show, people talk about this on this show, can be found on Amazon. And you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We are now on the air. It is 7:22 straight up time, straight up 7:22 p.m. in Chicago. I'm in my studio, got this great big old window in front of me. You know, if you watch the late night news or the news of any time, you the anchor is always sitting near a window. Either it's in back of them or in front of them, or it's just a window. And I don't know, it's just something about the window that makes you, this just brightens your day. You know, it brightens your day. And you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Hate has no home here. Be kind to one another. It is so easy to be nice to folks. All right, my guest, Bridget Renee, thank you for putting up with a lot of the difficulties, technical difficulties of the show. And if you guys out there been listening to the show, starting off listening to the show, you probably didn't hear my voice, but you probably heard everything else. And we're going to check the show out. We may have to cut it in pieces, but we will keep this show. I think it's the 381st episode. Wow, that's a lot of shows in the can, isn't it? That's a lot of shows. All right. If you leave your heart to its devices, you will soon end up on medical devices. Basically, what that's saying is, folks, if something is wrong with you medically, go to a doctor. Okay. All right. Making the world a better place on the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is 7:23. We're just about off the air. Make sure you join me tomorrow, folks. We will have another guest, another great guest. I've had guests on this show, and a lot of them have been great guests, wonderful people. All right. You can always follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio right here. LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. Just all over the place.
Hey there, friends and fans. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want you to enjoy my fictional writings located on Amazon and elsewhere. The website is www.amazon.com/author/GWilder, or go to the Amazon website and type my name in the text bar above to either order or download a book, a story, essays, novels, novelettes, whatever you want to do. And I want to thank you very much for that. And as always, good reading. This is George Wilder Jr. And keep listening. There's always
more. Oh, yeah, to come. Keep listening.
All right, thank you, everybody.
Yeah, keep listening. Always listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I mean, it's always something here you can learn, something I can learn, something the world can learn, something we all need to know. The George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we're just about off the air. We got about 5 more minutes left into the show. And once again, I want to say, everybody get out there and vote November 2018. We need to change this country. We need to change the direction of this country. It is totally going in the wrong direction. You have to get out here and vote. If you have registered to vote, get registered. If you know somebody who's not registered, get registered. Drag them to the polls. Get there any way you can. We have to try and take this country back November 2018. And I'm gonna be that fierce fighter for you. I'm going to also be a fierce fighter for myself and everybody else. And I want you to fight also. And one of the things we should not do is sit back and one of the things we should not do is sit back and let other people do our jobs for us. We have to fight our own fight, not physically, but we fight at the ballot box. We fight with our votes. That's what we fight with. We have to get these guys out of the White House. They are trashing the White House. They are trashing the U.S. You know, Donald Trump and his minions and his clowns and his liars. These people are all over the internet, all over the television, just lying their butts off, you know, left and right. You've had Joe Scarborough of the Morning Joe. He has renounced his not a Republican anymore, put it that way. He said it on the Tonight Show, I believe, that he was no more of a Republican. Of course, he's very, very disappointed in the Republicans, as everybody else is.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns.
a troubled world, I pray the Lord to keep. Keep hatred from the mighty and the mighty from the small.
I want to thank everybody for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting straight up out of the city of Chicago. Some people said, George, have you ever gone to broadcasting school to learn how to talk? I said, no, it just came naturally. Anyway, bye-bye, everybody. And a lot of practice.